Welcome back, everyone, to The Mind's Eye. This is episode 122, and today we have very interesting things pertaining to the whole P. Diddy case, the music industry as a whole, and how disgusting and vile it actually is. If you guys haven't heard yet, go to themindseye.tv to get your Interstellar mug. Also, we have a live stream going this Saturday, February 9th. We're going to have Julian Brown join us to talk about his whereabouts and what's going on. So, just wanted to say that. Santiago, can you talk? Can I hear you?
Yes, sir. I am here. We're going to have Julian Brown on for a live stream. He's coming on. He's going to talk his fucking shit. No, but it's really interesting because, like, I was going through his page the other day just to, like, pick up on where he's at.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because, you know, there's natural paralysis. The conventional paralysis.
Yeah.
But then there's his version where it's, like, because, well, we'll talk more about it, but he goes about it a much different way to the point where he has created his own, what he calls Mark IV version.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's why he has his patent pending. I don't know if it's still patent pending, but hopefully things go smooth in that arena.
I got a song for you, bro.
A song? You can't play it, bro. We're on YouTube. Right. Dude, you can't play music. Did you not just hear what I said? Yo, this fucking guy, man.
It's a video game. Nigga, you can play music.
No, you can't, bro. Literally 1 second of any audio that's not licensed gets the video demonetized.
It's an Instagram sound.
If it's licensed, that's what it is. Anyways.
I'm back.
Sean is here.
I thought it was 7 seconds.
Nah, bro. It's a second.
They changed it?
Yeah, bro. They recognize that shit. It has a digital footprint.
What are we talking about today? What's going on?
So, just wanted to chime in here. We got the whole P. Diddy case going on right now. So, if you guys haven't noticed or haven't heard, P. Diddy's music producer, specifically, he was producing the album Love. That was the name of it, I think. He's suing P. Diddy for a number of things, including sexual assault. He's recorded hundreds of hours of footage and audio of him allegedly assaulting him and allegedly assaulting other people as well. It goes very deep. So he's not just suing Diddy. He's also suing record labels, including Universal Music Group, which, for any of you guys doesn't know, that's one of the biggest music labels out there. So, I know
you were also saying that he did like a Jeffrey Epstein type of thing.
Yeah.
But he also put in where he like honey traps people in his own home.
Yeah.
So set up cameras in every room and shit.
Yeah. His house is rigged up just like Epstein's crib on Fifth Avenue. Cameras and microphones pretty much everywhere inside of his crib. What he will do is that he will get someone new to sign and then he will bring them to his house. And he would, basically solicit sexual acts and he would record the entire thing. And pretty much after that, you're on the hook for whatever he does or whatever he wants you to do. So what's it interesting? I'm going to give a brief overview of the thing right here. Hold up, I have it in my notes.
Because I don't know too much about it, honestly.
It's all good. That's why we're here. All right, so the document alleges that Sean Combs, a.k.a. P. Diddy, engaged in a pattern of illegal activities, including sexual assault, drug distribution, the solicitation of sex workers and minors. Okay. Document also implicates other individuals and entities, including record labels and music industry executives in alleged racketeering enterprise. The plaintiff, Rodney Jones, which is the music producer, claims to have evidence supporting these allegations, including video and audio recordings. So what's funny is that when P. Diddy actually came into contact with Rodney Jones, he actually requested Rodney Jones to record everything that's happening. So it wasn't even like secret recordings. Like he takes his phone out and secretly records things. Like, nah, this is openly recorded. And Diddy was very aware of the recordings and all that. So that's just funny to add into there.
Wait, what do you mean? I'm sorry, I didn't understand that last part. Like,
so when P. Diddy came into contact with Rodney Jones, which is his music producer for the album, he actually requested Rodney Jones to record everything that they're doing. So it wasn't even like secret recordings that he was taking. Diddy was very aware of the recordings on his phone. So it wasn't like he was like, he did something dirty and he secretly recorded it.
Rodney was recording on his phone?
Yeah, he was recording videos and audio. Assaulted. Yeah, videos and audio of like shit going down. Not just to him, but to other people. It gets fucked up. So just to go a little further into this, the document outlines multiple causes of action against various defendants, including Mr. Combs and other individuals and entities for allegations of sexual assault, bystander neglect and affliction, and emotional distress, and sex trafficking. Right? So this is where it gets fucking very fucking interesting, because people throughout the years, usually people get into the whole quote-unquote conspiracy world through the music industry conspiracies, right? I mean, that's one of the big things that was out during like 2015, 2011. You know, people were like, oh, listen to Beyonce, reverse her song, and it tells you to kill yourself. You know, shit like that, mm-hmm. You know? And then now there is an actual court case going on right now. And by the way, a lawyer can lose his job if there's no evidence supporting any of these claims. Just letting you know. So there is actual evidence of all the claims being made. So now there's actual tangible evidence, not just people just saying shit and, you know, being like, oh, I went to a Hollywood party and they offered me Molly and, you know, they wanted to like do shit to me to get a deal done. This court document actually outlines stuff just like that. So Diddy would actually lace drinks for people, adults and minors, because apparently he went all the way. he liked doing weird shit with adults and minors. So what's it called? Apparently the music in the record labels were providing the financial support for him to do all this shit. So Universal Music Group and all those people were actually like, that's why they said racketeering charges, because they were all involved in the financing of all these weird operations. And I wanted to point out something very interesting on the document right here. So on page 8 of the document, if you scroll down to page 8, it says summary of events, right? Now, there's this part where it says rapper redacted on Mr. Combs' yacht consorting with underage girls, sex workers, and blank. And when it has a number 3 on top of the rapper, so you scroll down and see what that redacted rapper is. And it says he is a Philadelphia rapper who dated Nicki Minaj. So, for any of you who don't know who that is, it's fucking Meek Mill.
There's only one fucking person out there.
It's fucking Meek Mill. And what I found interesting is that before I read that line, I thought Meek Mill was just getting clapped. You know what I mean? But apparently he was fucking around with weird shit with Diddy on the little minor side. You know what I'm saying? Allegedly. Just to put that out there. Allegedly.
Oh, really? He was talking with minors.
Yeah. Allegedly. Let's put that.
I just don't get it, bro. Like, there is nothing. How do people find children attractive like that? Like, I just don't get it, bro.
Yeah.
It has to do with something evil. Like, there's no way that you look at a child and you go, oh, yeah. That's crazy. You gotta be sick,
I know,
bro.
I mean, we're normal fucking people, so that we can't understand that. We never will understand it. You know what I mean? We're normal people. I mean, I don't know. It seems that after you get enough zeros in your bank account, you just turn like insane. I don't know if I want to go down that road. Yo, you know what
money
I mean?
Money is energy, bro. Money is energy. Like, yeah, it's a physical thing, but the capability that it brings it brings a lot of it's not like a physical energy, you know what I mean, like heat or like electricity and shit. It's more like I'd say like a spiritual thing or a mental thing, because it brings power with it somehow. You can essentially do whatever you want with an X amount of money.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's this is crazy. The other day I was so hyped because Joe Rogan finally like said it out loud. But he had Cat Williams on a episode.
Mm-hmm.
And in that episode, basically Cat Williams was trying to bring out Joe to talk about the Illuminati. And they literally were. And basically, damn, I forgot where I was going with that, bro. I'm sorry. I got so hyped up about the whole Joe Rogan shit. But, damn, I forgot what I was saying.
Yo, we're gonna make a. I'm gonna hire someone to make a compilation of this right here.
Yo, don't make fun of me before I come at you. You said like 50 times in the last fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah, but at least I knew what I was saying. Motherfucker.
Sorry, bro.
Nah, I'm just fucking tired, at you, bro.
Tired, man. You guys wait till the end of the fucking night to record.
It's completely lost in MacWick.
Nah.
No, well, literally, I'm like blank right now. What were we talking about? I swear to God, I had the craziest brain fart.
Bro, we're talking about the whole
Diddy case. I know we're talking about the whole P. Diddy case. I understand that. I know. Yeah. I was just...
Where the and fuck you said Joe Rogan, something about having him, Cat Williams on the show.
Talk about the Illuminati or whatever.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know
how. Well, it's gone. It's all right. It's gone. It's never gone.
Okay. Well, it's here now. I can't remember it. They were just talking about how, like, once you reach a certain point, like, with money and power, it's just like, what else can I do? You've done everything. And it always seems to just go towards, like, conquering the world and getting into weird shit. Like things that you shouldn't, like, it's not even about like legally, it's more like morally, what the fuck are you doing? And these people always tend to do that, and I think it has to do with the energy that money brings. It's just a very greedy and dark energy. That's the word I'm gonna put for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say bring
forever.
Yeah, I was gonna say to add on to that, I feel as though that in human nature, when you get when you have all the resources you need and you don't have to go fend for yourself or fight lions to keep yourself alive, like, you get bored, you know. And I'm not saying that's fucking right. Obviously it's not right what they're doing, but like, yeah, what else can you do? How many private jets can you fly? How many fucking extravagant dinners you can have? How many companies can you buy? You know what I mean? Like, they just like do shit that is just mad weird, I guess, for like extra experience. I don't fucking know. I'm not an expert in this shit.
And that's why I feel like it has such a bad dark energy towards it, because we could get bored now as we are, but we're not gonna go out there and fuck kids because we're bored.
Yeah, that's OD.
You know, yeah. What I'm saying, I'm sorry that I put it that way, but like, that's exactly what they're doing. They're, yeah, going out of their way to traffic these children.
Yeah.
It's just sick to me, bro. I find it, yeah, just, it's sick. There's no other way to put it. Like, your mind is not in the right state.
Yeah, that's facts.
I think it's, I just want to jump in here because I've just been listening to you guys, like, go about it. Because, I mean, I think we're all confused here, like, what it is. But just listening to you guys and like also listening to the court case as well, I think it's beyond just like whether or not like it's a minor or not. And I think that's like the root of the problem. The root of the problem, I believe, is this sick obsession with power over people. And it's not just influence. It's like indomitable power. Like, if I want it, I'm going to get it. And that's what's shown throughout the entire P. Diddy case, bro. It's not just minors as well, even though that's a huge thing as well. I think minors are easy to prey on, and that's why people like that do it, is because it's easy to invoke your power on them as well. But it goes even beyond minors as well, bro, to grown men, to people who are heterosexual as well, where P. Diddy was passing was it Rodney Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just mainly like Mr. Jones in the court case documents. But he was passing him off to other people as well, kind of treating him like a prostitute.
And like, yeah.
And like, I mean, this is like no offense to him as well, because it's probably hard for him to come out and like talk about this. But he kind of treated him like a slut. Like, it was just like passing him around to other people.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up to say.
Yeah, they named it, what's it called, that he was involved in the commercial sex acts, which, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. He would pimp out not just like him, but he would pimp out other like people as well. Apparently, Meek Mill got his cheeks taken by P. Diddy. There's a new saying online right now. So they're calling him Freak Mill.
Yeah.
But
and you know, it's crazy that you say this, because a couple years back, I heard this in an interview. It was like, if you were up and coming rapper in New York, from New York, and you really trying to get like popping, apparently you got to have a sit down with Diddy.
Yeah, because he owns all the, he's a big stake in the, so basically how it works is that he's like the screening for like all the higher ups.
Oh, he's screening all right.
Yeah, he's screening all right. He's screen recording, he's screening everything, you know? So, He would sit you down, and you would do a deal with him, right? And then you would like basically get honey trapped by him, because he would basically want to do some weird freaky shit with you. And then after that, you're then connected with like the higher executives, and which is funny that all the higher executives, not saying this is like just to say it, but like all of them are Jewish people, just to put it out there. they own all the record labels, and all the record labels listed in this court document happens to all be owned by Jewish people, which is very interesting when you see the crimes that they were involved in, and how, you know, it's very funny how this all goes back to certain things and certain groups of people. Again, not saying every Jewish person does this. I'm just talking about a very small percentage, just how it is all the time, of people who do weird shit.
Man, but then it's really not such a small percentage of them that's doing it, right? I'd argue that there's a small percentage of true Jewish people who are normal religious people who just want to live.
Yeah.
I'd argue that. And I'd say that's a bad look on your people, man. Like, it always seems to stem towards, man, we got to be careful talking about this shit on YouTube.
Yeah, I know, honestly, sorry.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna leave it there.
I feel like we always go back to that Jewish topic, bro.
I just wanted to lame that. I didn't want to go too into it. I just wanted to like put that out there. But
yeah,
but it's true. Kanye said it a while ago as well.
What'd you say?
Kanye
said it.
Yeah,
like there's always there's Jewish people in the music industry, and they get you to sign a contract. Mm-hmm. But that's that, yeah. And
yeah, but going back to this whole P. Diddy thing, the reason that I came to like understand the whole thing more was because there's these boxers that are about to fight, right? Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, and this nigga Ryan Garcia is hilarious, bro. All right, he's basically like selling merch of a picture of Devin and Diddy together in this pool. And like, yo, bro, I gotta show you it. It's fucking hilarious, bro. And he keeps saying like, oh yeah, like what were you doing with Diddy? Yo, bro, it's bad. But that's how I came to know about it. So it's like, who knows? Maybe it's not only rappers. Maybe it just has to do with the entertainment industry in general. You know, like a business thing.
No, it is. Diddy is like the music version of all that weird shit. If you're like an up and coming actor and you want to go Hollywood and shit, I'm pretty sure there's a different avenue of people you go through. But it's similar, like things that you go through. You would, you know, get invited to a party. You know, you go to the party. Everything's laced with drugs and shit. Allegedly, P. Diddy was lacing all his, you know, drinks to people and minors with like ecstasy, mushrooms, ketamine, all types of shit. People were getting knocked out in the parties and then getting taken advantage of, all types of crazy shit.
Nah, if you sipping, bro, and you start tripping off of ketamine, you know you got to get out of there. Ain't no drink going to make you trip like that,
bro. Yeah, yeah, facts.
Bro, but about unless you're drinking some ayahuasca
shit.
By the time you realize, you're already knocked out already,
bro.
Yeah.
Bro, man, it's so crazy. Bad, bro. They even said that Chris Brown was a part of it as well. It was redacted name, somebody who had a physical police interaction with a Bahian rapper or artist or whatever. And they're obviously talking about Rihanna. So Chris Brown is implicated in it as well. And it's so bad, bro. They have on the one of the aides to P. Diddy. Her name is Christina Corum. They compared her. She said she's the Ghislaine Maxwell to Sean Combs, Jeffrey Epstein. So they said it was so bad.
Who's
bro?
Who's this woman?
It's one of his aides, the assistants to P. Diddy. They said here in on the 30th page, bro, I'm gonna read it directly here. Defendant Corum required all employees from the butler, the chef, to the housekeepers to walk around with a fanny pack filled with cocaine, GHB, ecstasy, marijuana, gummies, and Tukey, a pink drug that is the combination of ecstasy and cocaine. In order to keep P. Diddy high at all times.
What the fuck, bro?
So whenever he would walk around, he could ask anybody and he'd get a gummy or a Tootsie or some cocaine or whatever.
Damn, bro, you sound like a fucking supervillain.
Yeah, and she knowingly spiked all of the alcoholic drinks at a party. What is that?
That's the merch that he's selling.
I'm dead.
Yo. Hey, yo.
Shit is bad, bro.
Yo,
Did he look horny in that picture, bro? Look at him.
Nah, that's.
He's like, yo. This. With it biting his lip.
Bro, I mean, according to the case, he probably got caught.
Bro, he's literally he's showing you. He's going like this. Like. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yo, so what's it called? You remember the Cat Williams interview, the one that got viral before? Like it went mad viral?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like.
Yeah, with Shannon Sharp?
Yeah, yeah. With the guy. I don't know his name.
But the big old black guy.
Yeah, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
With the glasses.
Yeah,
Shannon
yeah.
Sharp. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shannon Sharp, yeah.
Oh, Shannon Sharp? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, anyways, so he was sitting there. He was like, Pete Diddy likes to party, and you got to tell him no.
You know? He doesn't take no for an answer, bro.
Yeah.
He does not take no for an answer.
Nah, that's
bro,
crazy.
Is what were you going to say?
I was just going to say how you could tell, the other old school OG, New York rappers, They distance, so when they try to keep his name out of their mouth.
Yeah, bro, I think he's fucking weird. Intimidating,
he
calling
bro. Dudes daddy and shit.
Yeah, bro, there's a video of him telling Meek that at the pool. I have it.
he there's some video of him going. I forgot who he was talking to, but he was going, "Damn, you was scraping and scrabbling in there, daddy."
Hey, yo.
He was scraping and scrambling in there, and I'm just like, what
"Happy
the
birthday,
fuck?
Daddy!"
He's like, "Hey,
yo, but
hey, yo,
that guy is on some shit."
Yo, this guy was fucking crazy, bro.
You know what? Look, if you're gay, seriously. You're gay, man. But don't fucking don't extort people with your sexuality.
That's what I was gonna say, bro. It's like the thing about it. What makes this very fucked up? Is one, P. Diddy is portrayed as a heterosexual man. He has a wife, right? I don't know how that works at this point, right? So, but he's portrayed as that way. And then you got these other rappers who are mad, quote unquote, gangster. And then by this, in the back, they're getting cheeks clapped. You know what I'm saying?
And they're getting their cheeks clapped.
Their cheeks that's clapped. The that's the thing, yeah.
Just be gay. Be openly gay.
That's the thing, bro. So what's funny is that this leads into the whole CIA thing. So there's this guy.
Uh-oh.
So there's this retired CIA agent called Steve. I was going to say.
Wozniak.
No. I have it right here. His name is John Holmston. He's a retired CIA agent that went on the Russian news on while he was dying, and basically said that the CIA basically created the gangster rap genre to fill private prisons by glamorizing criminality. And here's a picture of him with like, what's his name? Who is this guy? You know, you know this guy? I know who he is. I just don't know his name.
You're asking the wrong person, bro.
Yeah. It's
I can't see. Can't see that? Which guy am I looking at?
What? Which
guy? Who is that? Quavo?
Yeah. No, I think that's Takeoff.
I mean, not Quavo. Offset?
Offset and someone else who I know. We all know this. I'm going to put the picture up right now. But basically, he was the one that basically said that, yeah, we purposely created this genre to fill private prisons and all that stuff. But the thing about it is that they had to have control over these people. So what they would do is they would make them engage in homosexual acts to keep them in check. Because basically how it works, bro, is like that's the ultimate form of blackmail, is sexual blackmail. You got that on someone, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You know what I mean? Like, it's different than just saying allegedly stuff. Like, no, we got you on video taking cock, basically. You know what I mean? it's OD, bro. So, like, imagine you, like, an up-and-coming artist. You're thinking you're about to, like, hit crazy. And, you know, your record just popped and everyone's talking to you. And you're like, damn, I'm about to blow up. I'm about to get this money. And then you sit down, and P. Diddy sits down, and he's telling you, "Listen, you want to get to the next level. You want to win a Grammy. come to my house in L.A. We're gonna have a party there this Saturday, right? We go to this party this Saturday. We get lit, and then we talk some business, right? Then you go over there. You go to L.A. It's your first time there. You don't really know how shit gets down.
And then, it's your butthole talking.
Yeah. And then you finally go to the fucking party. They take your phone at the front door. They don't allow phones in there, if you didn't know. They take your phone.
What shit is this?
Yeah. They take your phone at the front door, and then you go through the party. And
I'm
then
not going in.
Yeah, I'm not going in.
Sorry. If they take my phone away, bro, I'm not going in.
So then you go through it, and then you see, like, yo, this is like a cesspool, bro. There's people drugged out everywhere. There's questionable if these people are of age or not. And then you go through the back, and then you and then you're right there. The deal is ready to sign, but you have to do this.
Dude, I just... Fuck, I had a you moment. I don't know this guy's name, right? There's an interview of him saying that... fuck, who was it that saved him, bro? Okay, there was this basketball player, right? And he was a rookie. You know, he got invited to this party. And he was the type of guy where, like, he tries to go all out and try to get lit, you know, and just try to stay late. He said he's always been that type of person. And there was this artist who he was real close with. I forgot who this guy's name was, bro. We know him, though. But the rapper, he goes, yo, don't stay past 1 a.m., all right? And the guy's like, man, get the fuck out of here, like. I'm an adult, nigga. You know who the fuck I am? Like, I get lit. He was like, I'm staying past one. Dude comes back to him at, like, 12:30. And he's like, yo, bro, what are you still doing here? You got to get out of here. He's like, bro, you tripping, bro. Don't worry about it. I could handle myself, bro. Whatever, he lets him be. It's past one in the morning, and he's starting to go upstairs. He's starting to see go through rooms, and then the rooms are turning into rooms. And the rooms are dark, and then it's just people fucking and doing drugs. And after that, he said that he's seen Diddy, he's seen a couple other people in there.
Oh, man.
Like, just all fucking each other and doing drugs. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Why does it always turn to that? Even in those movies, like, you see the billionaires out, and then in the night, they're just all doing drugs and fucking each other in orgies. It's like, come on.
It's just primordial instinct, bro. Energy. It's just fucking lustful energy.
Exactly. It's pure lust. It's just...
It's the root energy.
Exactly, right? And is Josh, didn't you once explain that, like, the root chakra
of the,
because I'm not really a full believer of that, right? But like that the root energy that comes from there is like their highest point, because
so they work in it backwards. So they believe they reach their highest point by going through the lowest point,
right? And so you got to think about that. That's why they're constantly, like, it's always sex. It's always somehow a sexual act, because not only can sex be a beautiful, intimate, soulful thing, it could be a very disgusting act as well.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the most beautiful of things can also be the most disgusting if you handle it that way. And I feel like that's just why they're always doing that, bro. And then it also goes back to how I brought up that the money just has like such a dark energy towards it, because it always has to do with a certain amount of money that you have, that you can access these things.
Yeah.
It's very dark, I'd say.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up, man. So basically the whole Diddy case just shines just shines a light on how far the whole Jeffrey Epstein things extend to. Because with the Jeffrey Epstein case, you saw how it extended mostly to politicians and billionaires and other things like that. And this case shows you that it's in the music industry, it's in the entertainment industry as a whole. And most of your favorite rappers and Hollywood actors are compromised, you know? Even the music producers. The one producing the music is compromised. The motherfuckers doing the editing for the movies are probably getting taken. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty fucked out there, man. And it's funny how prominent it is when entertainment is probably the... No, it is. Entertainment is the strongest form of, like, propaganda and, you know, your mind. The war for your mind starts by what you watch and what you consume. And it's crazy how the whole industry is paraded by disgusting shit like that. Makes you really think, like, damn, like, if they're doing this behind the scene, how much of that energy is being leaked into the media they're producing?
Right. Yeah. Hey, is it just me, or are you guys like just tired of sex in every show and movie now?
I guess so.
I just can't watch it no more, bro. Like, I literally have to do like a parent's guide, because if it has sex in it, I'm just like, yo, bro, I might as well not watch it.
Why?
To me, bro, I feel like everything is just porn, bro. It's just porn.
Yeah, it is. Like, I'm not going to lie. Twitter is getting heavily with stuff like that. A lot of shows are like that, you know?
I don't even have that shit.
You don't have Twitter? I use Twitter because they have good, like, conspiracies on there, but it is a lot of porn on there. I have to, like, you know, go through all that weird shit. But you'd be scrolling and it's like people fucking, and then you see, like, oh shit, Joe Biden said this, and then you keep scrolling and then someone's getting fucked. It's like, all right, is this what Elon imagined Twitter being?
That's a good question.
I think it was always like that, to be honest.
Yeah, but nah, it wasn't.
Always porn on Twitter.
Yeah, it's always been allowed on there, but you kind of have to like follow and like really like engage in that content to keep seeing it. Now it's kind of like you can make a new Twitter profile right now, and probably within like 10 minutes, you probably see some porn.
So all those OnlyFans people, they're merging over to Twitter now.
Yeah, they are. They're promoting.
Mass wave of people flooding over.
Yeah, promoting is all types of crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's getting fucked right now. Yeah, people are getting fucked on there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This world is getting over sexualized, to be honest. And I agree with you. There's so much promotion of porn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many OnlyFans things on like meme pages now. Have you guys been seeing that,
bro? That's why I stopped following so many meme pages, bro. I'll find a good meme page, and it'll be funny shit. And then within like probably like a month or two, when they start getting numbers, they just keep showing the same OnlyFans fucking girls. And it's like mad fucking annoying. I can't even open my fucking Instagram in public some of the time now, because like I don't know if it's gonna be an OnlyFans promotion on my meme page. Like, what the fuck? Like
Damn, that's annoying.
Bro, I be scrolling now too, going on like my Finders page or Explorers page. There's fucking like random like girls on there too. I'm like, I don't even view pictures like that or reels like that. I don't like pictures like that, bro.
It's like that for, it's like that on purpose for accounts that are specified to be men's accounts, if you didn't know.
It's like they're trying to suggest that stuff to you. Like they're trying to put you in that state. When you're in a sexual state, and this is why I believe in some sort of like chakra scale, because I believe in like different forms of like brainwave activity, like the thetas, the betas, the alphas. We know that scientifically. I think the chakra system is like that. When you're in that sexual state, bro, you're highly susceptible. You're very craving as well. You're in that like fresh like dopamine state. Like you're just will. You just want to give an interaction. You just want to type a like button. Mm-hmm. They put you in that state, and they even do that in music as well. Kanye talked about that too. I'm like, hate him for whatever you want, but like he's right about that subject, bro. There are certain frequencies. You know about that,
yeah.
Right? There's certain frequencies
that's why they whacked X, bro.
I believe so too. I believe I think X was too close to the sun. I think he was like touching glory, bro.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
live. He was having live streams talking about it, saying they alter your mood with the frequency in your music, and then like I think it was the next day or a couple days after, it just whacked.
Yeah, you know why he wasn't that controlled, bro. That's the thing about the SoundCloud like era, is that wasn't record label stuff. Like he got big off SoundCloud, and then he started becoming mainstream. Mm-hmm. And since like he became mainstream and people already knew him off of SoundCloud, I don't even know if he took a deal or not. Someone can correct me of that. But even if he did take a deal, it probably wasn't as like compelling because he already had a fan base. You know what I mean? Versus someone like fucking like Sexy Red, who nobody fucking knew at all, and then now everyone knows her.
She just came out of nowhere, bro. That was a plant. And it's crazy because I was like the only rapper that I fuck with.
All these female rappers are industry plants.
I think all the rappers are industry plants. I don't think it's just females.
I think most of them. I think a big most of them. Yeah. People would be like, "Oh, have you heard about Lil fucking Lil Plank?
Lil Plank? Like Lil Rat?
Like do you like where did this person?
Oh,
you
don't know about Lil Plank?
Lil Perk? That's a real rapper?
Yeah.
Jesus fuck, man.
I'm like, bro, no. Like you're just, at this point, you're just making people up. Like they're just fucking copying and generating them in like a machine somewhere. Like, oh yeah, he's been around since 2012. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how have I
2012?
Yeah, and I'm like, that's when everything shifted, bro. All these fucking random rap artists started coming out of the machine, bro.
And then you start getting mad posts on your Explore page about that rapper after the conversation.
I'm like, yeah. Oh, fucking Lil Turk died. Like, what the fuck? Who?
Lil
like,
Turk.
Lil Turk.
Always Lil
little
Big.
Some nigga with a turban on. Yeah. Turk.
But bro, yo, it sucks shit. Because like for the people who don't know me, bro, I'm not a big person into like rap. Like, I don't like a lot of rap. Because I always felt like a lot of the rap that's pushed nowadays is very like demonic, very, I don't know. I just get like weird feelings based off of the tone. And X was that one rapper that I felt was like, his music was like glorious to me. Like I could listen to it and then feel like rejuvenated. Like Jocelyn Flores, bro, that shit hit. And all these other stars though, bro, is all talk about like, fucking killing, bro. And just smoking and like murderous vibes, bro. Even if they don't talk about it, it's just the tone behind the music as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like X was touching that tone.
I can't even listen to drill. Like,
yeah.
In the beginning, I used to like it, and then it's just like, okay, this shit is crazy. It puts me in a mood that I don't like. I feel staticky all the time. I feel like I'll be on the train listening to K Flock, and I'll look at a nigga. And we would lock eyes for like 2 seconds, and I'm like, yo, I could kill you right now. But that's not me. That's just the music that I'm listening to, right? And yeah, and like even now, and then I'm starting to realize like everybody started listening to it, and now that's all they listen to.
Yeah.
And their life is like built around that shit. Like people who are not about that life at all, bro, like just living, trying to live like what the song is talking about. And now you see all these other rappers, they all sound the same. All these Bronx drill niggas and all this New York drill shit, they all sound the same. It's so bad. But that's because they're all under the same frequency. They can't even be original.
Yeah. There was this guy who got on the...
They all just following the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went on the elevator yesterday. It was like... It was pretty late. And this guy got into the elevator and he was just like... out loud with headphones out, just rapping drill shit. And he was like, oh, I kill him, you know, and I'll kill you, and I'll stick you up. And I'm like, damn, I'm in the elevator with this motherfucker, bro. Like,
always like, those niggas, too, just singing out loud with no headphones on. Like this.
Yeah, with the fucking screaming, speaker.
Screaming, bro.
Yo, they be making me feel weird, bro. I took my hands out of my pocket. I was like, bro. But he's talking crazy. It's like 1 a.m. Like, this is not it right now.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, music, that's, yo, like I said, the CIA agent said that, yo, they specifically created that gangster rap genre because, bro, rap itself is not gangster, you know? Rap is just another form of poetry, you know? That's what it is. But now there's genres to rap, and now a big genre happens to be gangster rap. And that itself is getting what all these people getting locked up for, bro. If you really break it down, if there was a tool to measure the music you listen to and the people in prison and who are susceptible to it, there'll probably be like an insane correlation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll probably be an insane correlation. And most of that music is promoted to lower income neighborhoods anyways. So... You don't hear people. I don't know, Sean. Correct me if I'm wrong. You live in a pretty nice building. Do you hear people rapping shit like that on the elevator or downstairs? Like,
nah, bro.
I hear that shit all the time, bro. I be going to my building. It's like this motherfucker's in the staircase listening to this. I swear to God, it's like the same song, bro. All the drill music sounds the fucking same, like you said, bro. Like, it's all the same.
Even the beats. It's like this. It's like this pop song that has this fuck. They use the same samples. It's always. A white person pop song, like to give, like for lack of a better word, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because these people, that's how they think. They think pop and they think, oh, that's white people music, right? But they'll think of something that they will consider white people music and then they'll sample that and it's just boom, 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 boom. Like, bro, I can't.
That was good though.
It's all the same.
Yeah, it's all the same shit, but... Yeah, I mean, there's more to the Diddy case. I'm gonna link it in the description. I'm also gonna post it in the Discord for anyone who wants to check it out and see the full thing for yourself. There's a lot of fucked up shit going on there. There's about 78 pages worth of stuff going on there. But yeah, just to give a brief synopsis again, it's like, you know, it's pretty much the Jeffrey Epstein of the music industry.
Yeah, and it actually gets a little bit deeper. It's almost like a side quest in the case in its own.
Oh.
Yeah. So the P. Diddy case is like a Jeffrey Epstein. They say that girl is like the fucking Ghislaine Maxwell to P. Diddy's Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
But apparently there's also this guy, his head of security, they named him in the case as well. His name is Kareem Muhammad. So he was brought up in the case as, and I want to quote here too, if you look through the files right now in the Discord, if you go check it out for yourself, go directly right now. It's good for you to see, for people who are listening right now. See for yourself and read it. I have it right here in 1 second. I think it's page... sorry. There you go. Page 26, page 27. They bring up Fahim Muhammad. In line 134, it talks about how Mr. Combs, when he's talking about P. Diddy, made it clear that his head of security, Fahim Muhammad, had the power to make people and problems disappear. So this was a very interesting moment of the case, and that's why I wanted to bring it up in this part of the episode right here to kind of highlight this person real quick. We talked a lot about P. Diddy, but who's the person that kind of enforces P. Diddy's authority, right? So I just want to bring up the events in the order just to refresh people's memories if they haven't heard about it as well. But apparently P. Diddy and his son were at a nightclub one day, and his son brought along his friend, Mr. G, they call him. He's a 30-year-old tall African-American man, whatever that has to do with the case, right? Apparently at one point, P. Diddy and his son get into an altercation with Mr. G. And Mr. Jones, the person that's alleging the case, can testify this along with many other people at the club at the time. But they go into the bathroom at one point and they start arguing. At one point, gunshots start going off and an altercation ensues in the bathroom. Come to find out, P. P. Diddy and his son leave the bathroom, and when they go inside, they find Mr. G on the floor with multiple gunshot wounds on his body, bleeding all over the bathroom. Apparently, it was instructed to everybody and his staff. P. Diddy told them that he never had anything to do with the case. They told him to tell the police when they came that he had nothing to do with it, right? So the police eventually show up, and his staff tell them P. Diddy had nothing to do with it, that it was a drive-by shooting. That's how Mr. G got shot. And the police, they were like, what the fuck? Like, you know, the blood is inside of the bathroom. It's not outside on the street.
Exactly.
How the fuck is it a drive-by shooting, right? So this is where this guy, Fahim Muhammad, comes into play here. Fahim Muhammad apparently has a lot of authority when it comes to the local law enforcement, or law enforcement all over the world apparently as well. So when they come arrive on scene, he essentially tells them and does some sort of activity between them where they don't look further into the case. No arrests were made that night. No further investigation ensued following the people who were allegedly doing the drive-by, and they completely closed it. So apparently something, there was something in between Fahim Muhammad and the police that he has the ability to just completely silence them whatsoever. So fast forward, or also technically rewind. So Fahim Muhammad is the head of security for P. Diddy, right? But apparently that name rang a bell for some people online, and they connected dots and they found that Fahim Muhammad was actually the head of security for Michael Jackson as well. This is fucking crazy. This is crazy because Fahim Muhammad, he graduates from the University of Penn State, I believe the Wharton School of Academy or something, for retail and business development. So nothing that has to do with security, right? Apparently some other correlations have been made that that school in particular is a big scout for CIA operatives. That's where they go to hire and train people from that school. So Fahim Muhammad graduates from that school in retail and business development. How in 1 year did he get the position to be head of security for Michael Jackson?
His he let his butthole do the talking.
Quite possibly so.
Yeah.
No, but so
come on here.
And it doesn't.
Come on now, just real quick.
Come over here, damn.
So, as funny as that is, though, there is speculation that maybe he didn't like him. So, also apparently, and this is it gets even crazier after that, bro. Apparently, on the day of Michael Jackson's death, Fahim Muhammad was the second person on scene to witness Michael Jackson die. So he has some very, very close affiliations with Michael Jackson. First of all, how did he get that job in the first place after graduating from retail and business development? That's completely crazy. And he was the second person on scene to supposedly witness the overdose of Michael Jackson. In addition to that, it says here in this article that I brought up, almost right after Fahim Muhammad's, after Michael Jackson's death, in less than 3 years, it says as soon as Michael Jackson passed, Fahim Muhammad and his partner, Amir, they both launched multi-million dollar businesses right after Michael Jackson's death. And then they launched a company called Oasis in 2019. In less than 3 years, Amir and Muhammad grew their real estate portfolio from only $40,000 to $10 million in 3 years. If you don't understand that, that's fucking insane.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
So the head of security of Michael, I'm just relaying this back and forth again for people who aren't maybe grasping it. The head of security of Michael Jackson somehow gets the head of security job for him right after his death, and seeing him, the second person on scene, he turns $40,000 into $10 million, allegedly. And then apparently he was supposed to start this security company. This security company was a thing that was going to be his bread and butter. But some reports came out and it only showed that he had only a couple of employees and they weren't even making that much money. So there are people out there, and I believe as well, that Fahim Muhammad is a CIA operative and he has some sort of ties with local law enforcement, and he's able to make people and problems really disappear, and that apparently he's being paid exorbitant amount of money to be able to do this. Not like a normal head of security.
Yeah. Right. He's got to be in on this somehow, bro. For him to be connected the way that he is, you can't just know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, my camera just said internal temperature too high and turned off.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Spitting fire, bro.
Yeah. Yo, right when you go crazy, this shit turn off, right? Go crazy, go stupid.
Go crazy, go stupid. Go crazy, go stupid. Yeah, but you can't just know a guy. You know what I mean?
Actually,
you got to be in on it.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You have something either done to you or you have done something.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it there, guys. It's already 11 o'clock and I open tomorrow. I got to wake up at 4.
Oh, wait, don't you have tomorrow off? It's Wednesday.
No. That starts next week.
Oh, all right, dude.
Yeah. Sorry, bro.
Peace.
Peace out, bro.
Yeah, I'm only going to get 5 hours of sleep, so.
Word.
But I wanted to be a part of it for a little bit.
Word.
All right, boys.
All right, bro.
Yo. Are y'all off tomorrow?
Yeah.
So we'll do the second bonus?
Yeah, the bonus episode tomorrow, yeah.
And then some COD.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah. All right, boys.
All right dude. Peace.
Alright, yo. Just to change the subject, I guess. today I've watched one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. It's called Spaceman and it's on Netflix. It's with Adam Sandler.
Oh shoot, bro. I was watching clips of that online, bro.
Bro, that movie is amazing, bro. Really? I will say yes, that movie is amazing. And I recommend everyone to go watch that movie because it shows a lot about, it's a very unique way of showing about human nature and the universe. Right? So I'm not going to give any spoilers, or if you feel like these are spoilers, I guess just skip, because like, I'm just going to talk about a little bit my interpretation of the movie and what I think about it, I guess.
Try not to spoil it.
I'm not gonna spoil it. But basically, within the first 10 minutes, literally the first 10 minutes of the movie, he got sent to do this mission. There's this purple dust, space dust cloud that he got sent to go collect samples of, right? And he's been up there for about 6 months by himself. And since he was up there by himself, he started to have mental stress. You know, you're up there isolated for 6 months. And, you know, he had a wife back home with a kid on the way. You know, a lot of stress is going on. And that stress, I still don't truly understand this part, but that stress manifested itself into that spider being that you saw. And that spider being, the way it spoke, bro, it sounded so like I don't know how to explain it. It sounded so intimidating, but also so like piercing, like it's breaking down any fucking boundaries you set with that thing.
Mm.
Yeah. But what I found interesting, and I'm just gonna say this line. And I'm not going to say how I arrived to this line. You got to watch the movie to do it. But I find it funny that in human nature, no matter how far you go out, you're always brought back to things that actually matter. You know? Mm. So I'm going to just say that. It's a beautiful way they showed it. So I want you guys or anyone to go to watch it, and then maybe we could talk about it on another episode.
Damn, yeah, I kind of want to watch that now. I don't really understand like what you mean by that, I guess.
So. Yeah, yeah. So it's crazy that no matter how far you go out, the things that matter is actually what matters. So it was a beautiful way of telling it. So just wanted to say that.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna watch that movie then. Yeah.
Yes,
watch I can't it. Give you any input on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of sucks.
It was beautiful. It touched me, but Diddy didn't touch me. So I'm just saying that.
That's what a Diddy survivor would say.
Yo, right?
He didn't touch me.
He didn't touch me. I promise.
Yo. I know we're changing the subject. I just wanted to comment on this because I wanted to add it in there too, and then maybe we can forget about the Diddy thing, or if you want to talk about it more. But about the Fahim Muhammad thing and Michael Jackson, apparently as well. I know there's so many apparently,
yeah, yeah,
because there's so much speculation behind it. But there was this report that Michael Jackson wanted to buy Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did not want that to happen. So Michael Jackson wanted to buy Disney, and you know he has enough money to do it. So it's like, how do you stop somebody who has a mission and wanted to do it? He wanted to transform it into his own little playground, I guess. And so the speculation, or maybe
he wanted to buy Disney so he can get all those weirdos out.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he knew, yeah.
He definitely knew, bro. He was exposing the industry before he died. Actually, when he really started talking is when he actually like started like, you know, getting fucked up. You know, and then they eventually bit the dust.
Yeah, so when he was, that's around when he was trying to buy Disney. So they said that the reason why so many reports came that Michael Jackson was a pedophile and doing these things was because he was trying to buy Disney. And he can't buy Disney like that if you're surrounded by those kind of reports.
Oh, yeah. So what's it called? What's funny is that they tried pinning that on him. And it's funny. It's kind of easy to say Michael Jackson's a weirdo. I mean, look at him. He turned from fucking black to white. Yeah. He has plastic surgery everywhere. He talk like this. Like, you know, it's like pretty easy to profile him as that. But there's been cases of people coming out. There was specifically this kid who came out and was like, my dad forced me to say that Michael Jackson touched me,
yeah,
so we could get some money.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't happen, but you know, he still got the hush money because even a claim like that is damaging, no matter if it's true or not.
Yeah. And so I think they were paying those people to tell their kids to go make those claims.
Oh yeah, they definitely were.
They're probably getting like hundreds, if not millions, of dollars.
Yep.
From producers, record labels, from company executives. If you can't buy Disney, like a Disney with the theme parks and all that, is surrounded with that kind of controversy.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that people don't realize. Sometimes, like even just an allegation is enough to destroy your entire career.
Yep.
Like there have been people in the past, college athletes that were like, that were accused of rape, and they were proven to have not done it at all in a court of law, and they were still banned from ever participating in sports again.
Yeah,
isn't fucking that fucking crazy?
Yeah,
they were exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
They were completely proven innocent, and yet just the allegation alone is like, oh, they didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah, they don't want that. They don't want no sticky stuff like that around, even if it's true or not. I mean, I was surprised that Marvel kept Jonathan Majors around when he got accused of, you know, being aggressive with his partner at the time. I didn't read the fucking case. I didn't really care about it. But they actually stuck it out with him until the end because he had a major role. You know, he's the next big bad. He was Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
But once the case was this like closed and he was found guilty, they just like immediately dropped him.
Yeah. They're pretty quick with it.
Yeah, they're quick with it. Case, once the mat hits. Yes, it's Kevin Feige. we don't fucking want you anymore.
Yeah.
You're going to find a new, you got to get into
We're
a new
gonna
line
get
of work.
We're not going to continue anymore.
Yeah. Have fun washing dishes.
There they go. We're going in different directions.
Yeah, we're just like, we just don't click anymore. We're moving on, and you know, we're not seeing eye to eye anymore.
The vision just wasn't there.
It just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Oh man. I just got to work on myself.
It's not you.
It's not you. It's me.
It's me. I'm just not ready to really commit myself to you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. I just got to focus on myself, like my job and all these things.
Yeah, I'm really trying to grind this year.
You know? I'm going beast mode.
I'm going beast mode right now. I can't have a distraction.
Yo.
But yeah, and then they fucking killed him.
Yo.
And then they killed Michael Jackson.
Yeah, they killed him, bro. I don't believe he... Yo, when I was a kid, I remember I was in fifth grade, and I was at the lunch table when I heard that he passed. And then we had a pizza party the same day, which is kind of funny. But you know those pizza parties at school where they give you like a fucking... slice this thing.
Yeah, bro. Like, what the like hell,
slice
bro?
This thing and be like, hey, you did good this year.
Yeah. There's 12 calories.
They order like two pies to feed like 30 kids.
It's like, bro, like really? Like, yeah, we worked all this year, bitch. Like,
for this dusty pizza party.
For this fucking, for 1-inch pizza, bro.
But I remember I was there. I was in the lunchroom of my school. And I heard the news that he passed, and they said it was because of a whole bunch of shit. I don't even remember what they said, but I just heard it was drugs. I heard it was this. I heard it was that. I don't fucking know. So someone said his doctor killed him. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody said overdose. Like, I think that was like the main report at the time, like overdose. And that's what they always say. They make it seem like, oh, they purposely did it. Like they're addicted to drugs.
It's more believable that way because a lot of artists do happen to get into drugs. And the reason why they get into drugs is because of all the deals they had to take and all the weird shit that's been going on.
And the parties that they go to, bro.
Parties they go to. That's a coping mechanism. You know what I'm saying? Like they take these hard ass drugs because these people been getting fucked hard, you know?
And they tell him it's okay because when you're coming in, you're a newbie, you see your idol at the party and they're also taking drugs. Like, oh, look, Jennifer Lopez. She does it too. It's okay. Like,
yeah.
Go just snort that. You'll feel okay.
Yeah, just snort this random drug.
I don't even know what it is. Just snort it.
Scopopamine.
Scopopamine. Skiphyotheitis. It's like, what the fuck,
this is bro? Crazy, bro.
Yeah. And so they get them addicted on those drugs, and that's how they get them, bro. Like, people are young, bro. They come from, like, Disney and fucking Nickelodeon. Like, how do you think they get into that scene, bro? They're, like, 14, 15 years old, and they get invited to these influencer events.
Bro, motherfucker Dan Schneider was having the cast of Victorious get drunk.
Yeah, smelling their feet and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, shit is crazy, bro. Yo, it's so disgusting, bro. And that's why I feel... Like, that's why I personally feel like people who are trying to become artists and things like that, especially like people who perform and do like things like that and, you know, small time stuff and they want to move up the industry. I tell them to always be very, very cautious because there's vampires out there that are willing to suck everything out of you metaphysically and physically.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
But
P. Diddy said he'd fucking eat his face off if he ever disobeyed him.
Oh my God.
It's in the quote. It's in the court document.
I would believe that.
He said he was afraid he's going to eat his face off. And he also said that he was going to kill his mother as well.
Oh my God. That's crazy. So
that's like a fucking Batman kind of like choice to go through. It's like Harvey Dent or what's her face?
That's insane. Oh my God. Imagine hearing a threat like that. That's such a very, specific threat. Like, isn't that, I'm going to fucking kill you. He's like, I'm going to eat your face.
Yeah.
Like, what's your fuck, bro?
The specificity of it is just
like, have you done that before?
Terrifying.
Like, what the fuck is going on over there?
I'm going to eat your fucking face off.
The camera's about to die.
All right. Take the charger. Oof. Says Mr. Combs threatened to eat Mr. Jones' face and inform Mr. Jones that he's willing to kill his mother, Janice Combs, if he must, in order to get what he wants. So he wouldn't think twice to harm Jones.
That's fucking insane.
Bro, that's fucking insane, bro. And there's so much more to this document that we haven't even gone through yet, bro.
Oh, yeah. This is just a surface level. We're going to definitely do another episode or another deep dive into the full details of the document. There's like 78 pages and, you know, condensing that into an hour and a half episode is just not possible. Or at least it is. It's just that we're not efficient. So,
yeah. I mean, we probably could condense it down into like an hour and a half. Yeah. But there's so much to talk about, bro. Like, that's only like half of the document right there. The rest of the document, it gets into like illicit like weapons trades as well.
Yeah, the whole racketeering charges, all the money that's being funded to support all the sex trafficking they're doing.
Yep. And then P. Diddy, he's kind of like this fucking pimp. Around like every place he goes, like he walk up in a strip club. He said he would send Rodney Jones into the strip club with just a Love Records hat on, and they will know that P. Diddy's in town.
Oh my god!
He'll walk up into the strip club with the Records hat on, and then like he'll talk to some of the girls, and they already know what's up. Like they,
bro, is like Rodney Jones like gay?
No, it says he's a heterosexual Christian man.
So that gets me confused in how he was getting pimped out like that. You know what I mean? Was it money?
It was fame. It was awards and money. Apparently, he didn't even get paid very much for producing all those records.
They said that there's a video of him on TikTok or whatever of him like speaking, and he was saying like, "Yo, they did me dirty with the whole deal, like the album he spent a year making, missing family events and shit. They paid him like pennies on the dollar compared to what they made on it, and it's up for a Grammy right now.
Damn, really?
Yeah,
Bro. They said they paid him $29,000.
Oh my god!
And he said all that he was asking was for $50,000, and he couldn't front him that extra $21,000 to meet that. I was like, bro, what?
That's crazy.
They probably made millions off of that.
Oh, they did. Bro. They definitely did. They made millions.
And he produced it, right?
Yeah, he produced it. He's the producer. He's the guy who did everything.
Yeah, bro. And so they promised him like awards. Like, we're going to get you a Grammy, bro. Like, if you do this thing with, what's this other guy's name? Stevie J. Do you know who that is?
Stevie J. He does sound familiar.
They're like, if you do this thing with Stevie J, like, I'll promise you, you know, you'll get a record or whatever. And that they met up at a party, and this guy was like groping him and like touching him and like rubbing up on his like inner thigh and shit like that. He had to push him off. But he was like, you do this for him. He was passing him around. He was like, do this for him. You know, we'll get you that
girl. Oh, my God, bro. What would you do in that situation, bro?
Bro, I would push him off.
Yeah, I'll push him off, obviously. But it's just like. Oh, being put in situations like that, that's fucking disgusting.
But that's hard though, because like it's like people that like make or break your entire career. So that's why they like give into it, and they're like, oh, like awkward, like they don't know what's going on. And then by the time like they already know, it's like too late. Like they either drug them or you're back home with him. Like,
yeah.
He's gonna tell you like, oh yeah, come, I don't know, like sign this deal, check
him. There's this drug. I think it's called Devil's Breath. Where you just blow it into someone's face and they will do anything you say.
Yeah, I forgot about that, bro. Yeah. Yeah, there was some like Vice documentary on that.
Yeah, bro, that shit is crazy. I just can imagine how much that must have been used out there.
Dude, it was some shit in like Brazil or some South American country. And what they would do, they would have like prostitutes like lure guys in, and they would go inside of the hotel. They would either kiss them or they would blow it on their face. And bro, within seconds, they would be completely like willing to do whatever they wanted to tell them to do.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, go fucking punch yourself in the face or whatever. Like, give me everything. And these girls would do that. They go to the guy's crib, they'll take all his shit and they'll fucking leave.
Oh my God.
Like, it's a fucking operation, bro. We have to realize like operations like that connect to like other operations. Mm-hmm. Like big connects to fucking big. And when you're big like P. Diddy, bro. Like, he had yachts in fucking the U.S. Virgin Islands. Like, he was in that kind of crowd, bro. Like, connected to millionaires and billionaires, bro.
Yeah, and I wouldn't think that he was up there like that. Like, I didn't really hear much music. Well, he had his time, but when's the last time you heard a P. Diddy record?
I think that's how they want it.
That's true.
He's just making money on the low and, like, all that. Because, like, you know, at one point, you probably don't want, like, all that fame and attention around you. Because then you can't really, like, be out in the open.
That's true, yeah.
Like, they're always going to be watching your every move. So, with him and his thing, like, everybody around him apparently knows, like, what he's like.
Bro, don't you find it weird in media where they always tell you never meet your heroes, right?
Yeah.
Don't you find it weird, like, in media when someone who's a big fan of, like, a hero and then they'll go meet the hero, and then the hero's just like a fucking pedophile.
It's fucking coke addict.
It's fucking weird. It's just like, oh, you're a big fan? Show me how much of a fan you are. Like some nasty shit.
Yeah.
Why is it always shown like that? Is it really like that, bro? It's really like, that's fucking weird, bro.
It's not a movie. It's a documentary, bro.
I know. It's just like, fuck, man. Like, shit. Good thing we're in the industry. Like, we're in the podcast industry. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yeah.
Like, imagine, like, we want to get up. We have to sit down with Joe Rogan.
Stroking your inner thigh.
Oh, hell no. I don't give a fuck how much Muay Thai you know, Joe. It ain't happening.
Let's go eat some elk together.
Let's go hunt an elk.
Go hunt some elk together. He takes you out to the woods.
Yo, chill.
All right. It's time to see the elk.
Fucking Alex Jones coming out in an elk costume.
Nah, all right.
But
yeah, there's a lot more in the P. Diddy case. I'm going to look more into the rest. That's the first half. So I feel like the next episode, I guess, will be the second half.
Yeah, the second half. We'll go more into it.
Talk about that on the bonus episode.
Yeah, we could do that too. Yeah, we could talk about the rest if it's too explicit. Yeah, this is pretty much the surface level of the case, for anyone that's wondering. It's all surface level, to be honest. But the fact that, they were involved with sex trafficking and all that shit, it's not far-fetched. I just find it interesting how it's been going on for this long.
Yeah.
And now is when it's coming out. It's all closure, man. It's all disclosure. Everything has to come into the light, and then we decide if we tolerate it or not. If evil is just prevailed and it's in your face and you're just, like, not doing anything about it, then it's just going to keep happening. You know what I mean? How long are we humans going to accept these weird motherfuckers running this world? That's a genuine question. I'm not implicating, we go do crazy shit. I'm just asking a question, to be honest. Like, it seems that every time you go up the ladder, it just gets weirder and weirder. And I find it weird. I just personally don't like that. Pretty much all the products that we have and all the media we consume is run by these weird motherfuckers. We're using a platform. We're posting on the platform by these weird motherfuckers. Our advertisements is coming from parent companies of these weird motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Don't you feel disgusted that, like, the money that we're spending and all the shit we're doing is going back to their pockets to do more of that weird shit? Don't you feel weird, bro? I feel like I need to take another shower.
Rinse that sin off your body.
Yeah, bro. It's fucking disgusting.
What I hate the most about it is that I feel like it's not a fair race. Like, if these people owned a lot of stuff and they owned it, and there are other people that came along and actually, toppled their entire kingdom, then that would be different. But what they do is they hold people down, or they completely eliminate their career, either through killing them, either through painting false accusations.
Bro, it's like an ARK fucking server. You drop in and the Alpha Tribe has everything, and and you would build your little tribe and shit, and then you would just get fucked up by the Alpha Tribe, and the only way you could win is if you join them.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
It's like, why is it like that?
Yeah, it's like they're completely overpowered, but they don't give, I feel like they just don't give me the words to say it, because it's just,
they don't let you play the game. They play you. You don't get to play the game. You get to play the game for a little bit. And then once you get to a point where you're past everyone else, but not really past everyone, that's when they come in and nerf you.
You put it perfectly, bro. They only let you get so good. And then once you get a little bit on their level or better, then they start getting intimidated. And it's either you join them or they fucking kill you, or they kill somebody that you love.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like they do with X. And it limits such beauty and growth. Because maybe X could have been his own fucking record label at one point.
Bro. Yeah.
Signing other different artists. But it's a monopoly. It's a monopoly on the rap industry. And and the music industry. So it's you're putting a chokehold and cage on art, bro. That's fucking insane.
You're putting a chokehold on creativity. creator. The creator's essence is creating. And if you hold a monopoly or a foot over the creation, then goddamn, I mean, you're just like, you're pretty much like nerfing the entire creation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's no creativity. It's just this chokehold, this filter, this funnel. And the only thing that comes out of it, it's like pure creativity. The only thing that comes out of it is whatever they deem to be appropriate. It's like just, it flows through like one man or only a couple men. Rather than just like as a conduit of infinity, like just as it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like painting. It's like you have like a million different colors and then it comes through this filter and then you just paint it blue.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, bro. And damn, bro, you got it. Damn, bro. Watch that movie because there's this towards the ending, it gets fucking insane how they explain like life in the universe. Like shit is beautiful.
Look at my TME 777 hat.
Yeah, get your TME 777 hats
available on the Mind's Eye
dot TV.
Yes, but this topic goes a lot deeper than we think it is. There's big correlation with Jeffrey Epstein, not directly. I'm not saying like they knew each other or whatever, but my point is that there's other people out there in this world just like that, that are doing this, like as we speak,
bro, at different levels,
at completely like it could be even crazier than this. It's happening as we speak and we don't know about it. And we're not going to know about it if we don't continue asking these questions. So that's why we talk about stuff like this, to get people's attention, because in a week or two, the media cycle is going to do its thing and people aren't going to know about this. But if it sticks in your brain, that's the best thing we could hope for. And that's why we talk about this stuff as well, because it's kind of interesting as well. Like, if this is crazy, you know, this really piqued my interest. What if there's somebody 10 times worse than this? You know, as much as I would not want to know about it, I would want to know about it to cast light on what's going on. But to hear about how crazy and how seamless these people do these things, like without any fear of law. Like, it's very interesting to see, like, what a billionaire's life is like. Some billionaires' life is very, like, philanthropic, and some billionaires and millionaires' lives are just crazy and hectic.
Mm-hmm.
And well, just like that, as we heard throughout the entire episode. So, it's, I don't know, I guess it's, like, the curiosity in my mind, I guess, is, like, damn, you know, what more is out there? What really happened? I really want to know, because it's just fascinating seeing like what a human being will do with millions and billions of dollars and how primal and natural they will really go. It really does show the true nature of that person and human beings, what we can fucking do. So
facts. Yeah,
that's what I have to say about that. I think there's so much more to this case, and that's what I feel like, that's the curiosity that you should have in your mind as well when you're looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, the case, the PDF will be linked in the description. It would also be in our Discord. So if you haven't joined our Discord, go there, because all things that we find interesting, even before we do episodes, will most likely get posted on that Discord. Stir up conversation. Come talk to us personally on our Discord. And again, don't miss our live stream on March 9th, 6 p.m. With that being said, thank you for tuning into The Mind's Eye. We come out with content every week. Please make sure to tune in and subscribe to the fucking show.